All right. This is not football related, but...
Boob.
If you would... Stop it. If you would, Jake, would you please play the breaking news sounder?
Boob.
Again, this is not football related, but it is something that I believe will thrill my co-host.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The Kansas City Royals today announced that Bo Jackson has been elected into the Royals Hall of Fame. He will be inducted during an on-field ceremony on Saturday, June 29th, prior to the Royals game that afternoon versus the Cleveland Guardians. Before we go to Jarrett Sutton, I will allow Nate Bucati to comment on his one of his favorite, or maybe his favorite athlete of all time, being inducted into the Royals Hall of Fame.
I assume that Sam Mellinger, who might be the only person I know who loves Bo Jackson more than me, had something to do with this. And if so, give that man a raise. Sam Mellinger, promotion, raise, whatever you need. Your name on a fancy desk somewhere in the Kauffman Stadium offices, whatever it is, give that man what he wants.
Well, all right then.
Thank you, Bo Jackson. Wonderful.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Best athlete in American history.
Wow. Whoa. All right. Whatever. It's your day. I won't argue. Congratulations to Bo Jackson, though. That's what I will say.
Yeah.
He still doesn't know diddly, though.
Now, let's go to Jarrett Sutton, who joins us to talk some... also, I want to ask Lebo about this one. Tex Ags, the largest Aggie community and number one news source for Texas A&M football, recruiting, and sports, just posted breaking news. Texas A&M will name Nebraska AD Trev Albert as its new director of athletics. That's got Lebo written all over. Yell at him and ask him. I'd need a reaction from him on that. That's going to piss some people off. Oh, boy. And Jarrett Sutton, any reaction to that story?
I got nothing. I got the Bo Jackson one. I echo what Nate said, though. And Sam Ellinger is the man. So Bo Jackson is a big fan of the Sutton family. Is a big fan of Bo Jackson, for sure.
Oh, I thought you said that Bo Jackson's a big fan of the Sutton family. I am.
I don't know about that.
He probably is. I mean,
I can't confirm that one. So,
if you got to know you, you would be.
That's right. Are you still refreshing X this morning?
Yep.
It's a big day.
I'm trying to talk into you. Oh, stop it. First of all, stop sending me. I'm not going to open it anymore. I love you, all the listeners. I'm not interested in any more info on Aroldis Chapman.
Boob.
Thank you. Okay? Number two.
I did not know what I was expecting to see.
Not that.
How do you think I felt?
Not that.
I didn't even lead up. I said, I'll click on this. Like, baseball news. Hey. Okay.
I thought it was going to be worse, to be honest with you.
That's just bizarre.
Yeah.
It's not, yeah. It's just one of those.
How could anyone
just
like, what's going on? Jarrett, just remove yourself from this deal right here.
Big 12 tournament is sure top of mind.
Right. I'm trying to talk into existence Hollywood Brown to the Chiefs, and so I'm trying to just make it happen by saying it over and over again and refreshing. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, now Bruce Feldman says Trev Alberts will be the new AD at Texas A&M. So, oh, that'll be fun to read about all day long. Hey, how about that? It's basketball. Can you believe it? Yesterday, Nate and Jake had a disagreement about a possible Kansas-Cincinnati matchup tonight. Nate said, "Well, you know what? With Hunter Dickinson and Kevin McCullough out, I think they'll be underdogs of Cincinnati." Jake said, "No way, you moron."
Right.
You big dummy.
You big doo-doo head. No way.
Stick to soccer.
Stick to soccer. Vegas ain't that dumb.
Right.
And now I look right here, and Cincinnati is a 2.5-point favorite over Kansas.
Correct.
Does that surprise you, Jarrett Sutton?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough one. I mean, I think all things considered with Hunter Dickinson and Kevin McCullough being out, those are two first-team All-Big 12 players. So, yeah, I mean, I can see a case for it. I can also see a case, you know, for Kansas being the favorite.
Attaboy.
Just for the season they've had. So, I'm very interested in this game, even though Kevin and Hunter are not going to be playing. And I know Kansas is smart to get those two guys healthy for the big dance, but I am really interested to see how Coach Self coaches in this game. And I think it's a really important game, honestly, for Kansas that they shouldn't look over, just for purposes of getting guys some experience and a player that I think has a real chance to maybe show some more things tonight in Johnny Furphy. So I'm excited about the game.
What so for those that haven't really kept a close eye on Cincinnati, what kind of threat do they pose to Kansas, and what do you expect from them? Because they come in here, nothing to lose, not expected to do much, but I mean, you couldn't ask for more. They beat West Virginia, and now they go up against an injury-riddled Kansas team, so they have a chance, if they play right, to go on a run here.
Yeah, Wes Miller is their head coach, a big fan of him. Younger coach, early 40s, I think. He was a point guard at North Carolina. You know, his story is pretty cool of just kind of his path in basketball. Had a chance to see Cincinnati practice earlier in the year. I've seen him a couple times this season. They've definitely had, you know, their lumps this year. I think they finished 7-11 conference. But in terms of year one and building, you know, the program back, you know, I think he's off to a good start, and I think he's a very bright, intelligent coach. He recruits well, and his practice that I went to in the fall, you could tell, like, I think there's a lot of things that he's incorporating that are really going to pay off in the long run. They put 90 on West Virginia. You know, defensively, they've kind of been up and down. I think that's been a little bit of the struggle for Cincinnati. But they got some guys that can score it now, and, you know, they're starting five. Day-Day Thomas is a junior. I think he's kind of been playing a little bit better. He had 29 the other night. And then Lukosius, the junior from Lithuania, is just a really good shooter, kind of like a hybrid 3-4 that plays multiple positions. So that personnel-wise, their starting five is pretty effective. And then their bench, you know, they play a couple guys off the bench, so that rotation's kind of shortened, and they only play about 7-8 guys. So they're a team you can't overlook. They're a team that shared the ball pretty well, looks like, the other night against West Virginia. And a big game for them, for sure. You know, looking to do some damage in Kansas City and have a banged up Kansas team. This is a game that they have to have, obviously, and they need to do a couple wins in Kansas City to try to help themselves.
Nate Buchady.
Okay, Jared, let's talk about it. You said this is an interesting – you're interested to see Kansas play. It is very interesting. Obviously, Bill Self has said they're going to be small. Last year they went small sometimes, but when they did that, they still had big guards out there on the court, which they don't really have this year. And I was reading from the Lawrence Journal World. They had the advanced numbers that said that K.J. Adams has only played center this year for a total of 15 minutes and 14 seconds this season, so there's not a big sample size of seeing it this year. And as I said, when he did it last year, it was with a very different type of team. So how – you mentioned Furphy. Does Furphy become the go-to guy in this game? Like, where do they go for their offense, first of all, in this game?
Yeah, so I when they signed Hunter, just knowing how they were going to incorporate KJ into that, I'm not surprised to hear you say that. Because I think they wanted to go back to, especially signing Hunter, who was the most sought-out transfer in the portal. They were going to go back to more of that traditional old-school Bill Self, kind of what I was used to playing against when they had Cole Aldridge and those teams back in the day, where it was a heavy 4-5, Thomas Robinson, Jeff Withey. Now, you know, obviously Bill back in the day had to take Withey off the floor at times and go to that small ball lineup. And I think in this game it'll be interesting just because – You can't expect, obviously, KJ to play at the five, and then probably Johnny at the four. and you're probably going to play with a more spread out offense. And I'm curious what that does for Kansas's offense, because obviously their offense has been centered around pick and roll, high, low actions, establishing Hunter, KJ playing off that. And it's been effective. Like, KJ's had a great year, and Hunter's been outstanding. In terms of, like, a newcomer, obviously he was Big 12 newcomer of the year, first team all Big 12. You know, Hunter has been excellent, especially with the amount of minutes he's played, the amount of physicality he's endured at his position. I'm glad that he's, you know, it's no surgeries required, so he can hopefully get healthy enough to play in the NCAA tournament. But this is an opportunity. I look at Johnny Furphy. He was so efficient when he got put in the starting lineup. And then as the kind of season went along, you know, defenses adjust and they scout. And when you're a freshman, it's tough because it doesn't surprise me that Johnny played so well. You know, when he got it put in the starting lineup, it's how could he adjust when defenses like a Houston defense, you know, really game plan for him and try to take away open opportunities. And Johnny's very unselfish in that offense, especially knowing that, you know, Hunter and Kevin and DeJuan and KJ, those guys have been around. They're the leaders, and Johnny looks up to those guys. But Johnny is a very good player, and his confidence and his aggressiveness, most importantly, has to be there for Kansas. There's too many games I've watched of late of Kansas where Johnny's kind of passive. He's kind of passing up open shots, and I know he doesn't want to take a bad shot. That's just how he thinks the game, and that's good. But also, Johnny shooting the ball is good for Kansas. Even if he misses a shot, he's got to stay aggressive. You look at some of these games that Kansas has lost. When I pull up box scores for Kansas, you know, it's usually they're dominant points in the paint. They're dominant on the glass. They're dominant in the rebounding category. But the three-point shooting in just the, in terms of volume and made threes hasn't been there. And that was a worry going into the season a little bit, going into this season of can Kansas – you know, withstand and make enough threes, and it's kind of been up and down in that area. But Johnny's very capable, and it looks like he's kind of stepping away from that aggressiveness, and he's got to continue that. Good rebounder is going to have to be effective on the glass. And, you know, I think when you look at their offense and spacing the floor, a lot's going to be put on DeJuan for sure. And I think that's not a bad thing, because I do think DeJuan needs to be aggressive too in finding his offense. He's such a pass-first point guard, but usually when he's over 10 points, that's usually pretty good for Kansas. If he can score, if he can get to his floater, if he can get to the rim, and just he might have to take a few threes, and that's good. He needs to find a little bit of hitting a couple threes and getting that confidence back before you get into the big dance in the NCAA tournament. And then obviously with Al Marco and Parker Brown and McDowell and Timberlake, those guys are going to get opportunities, and that's good too. I mean, this is not in terms of like best case scenario with your two best players that are banged up and not playing, I do think this is a very good opportunity for these guys in the Big 12, in a tournament setting too, where win, survive in advance, play the next day. Hopefully these guys can get some rhythm and a momentum going into the NCAA tournament.
All right, Jared Sutton, we will put you on the spot. Who do you think wins this game tonight?
I actually think I'm going to give the edge to Kansas. I think when you look at I'm just curious how Coach Self goes about this tonight, because I do think he's going to do some things differently, and he should. I'm just interested, too, how Coach Miller adjusts to this. And Coach Miller's a younger head coach. Bill Self's the best coach in the country. It's going to be a chess match a little bit, but I'll give the edge to Kansas. I think it's going to be a close game. I think it'll be a game of runs, too. If Kansas gets up big, I wouldn't be surprised if Cincinnati makes a run to get back in the game, vice versa. But I'll give the edge to Kansas in this game.
All right, let's take a look at the other game in the night session. Must win for Kansas State against Texas. This should be a very interesting game. And was it Nate or Jake who told me that the latest bracketology says that K-State needs to win two more?
Yeah, that's what I saw this morning. But bracketology.
We'll see. Who knows? Nothing's perfect, but we all feel pretty comfortable saying they got to win this one. That's for sure. Jared Sutton, what do you expect between? And you know, if you can, Jake, find that clip of Jerome Tang, because I like what he had to say about what he wants this game to be. K-State and Texas. That should be a fun game to watch. Here's what Jerome Tang said about the game, and then Jared Sutton, I'd like your response and give me your expectations.
We like rock fights. So we're all about it. We want to make it a rock fight. That's where we operate best. And we can't allow them. They're so athletic, and they have weapons, and we can't let them get up and down and transition. And, you know, we have to make them play in the half court. And they got two prolific scores, and then Tyrese Hunter has been playing like his game against Oklahoma. You know, I mean, he looked like a first team all conference guy in that game, and you know, so I mean, they're, it's going to be tough. We need to make it, you know, a real gritty, grimy, low scoring type game.
Can they get the rock fight that they're looking for, Jared Sutton?
Well, I mean, the last time these two matched up, it was a little bit of a rock fight. Low scoring, better second half in that last matchup. Texas ended up winning a close game. I think when you go back and look at that game, David Nageson played well. Arthur Kaluma played well. And I just saw K-State beat Iowa State in Manhattan. And, you know, Arthur Kaluma and Cam Carter were excellent. And those two guys were good. Tyler Perry didn't really shoot it all that well. But David was really effective on the glass and really, you know, made his presence felt. And that's really his game, is doing those little things to help K-State on the glass. Kaluma's a good rebounder. But look, like, they're a little bit undersized. And, you know, if Tyler gets kind of hounded and he's not making shots, the offense can go stagnant at times. But they can stay in games. I said this a couple weeks ago, like, K-State's a solid defensive team, but there's too many times where when they struggle, it kind of comes back to the offense. When they get stagnant, then all of a sudden they stop getting stopped or maybe miss on some rebounding opportunities. I do expect this to be a game, and Coach is right. Like, Texas is very athletic. How they match up against Dylan Dessou, I think they'll be ready for Max. They know what they're going to get with Max Asemus in terms of his shooting ability and scoring ability. Tyrese Hunter is fully capable. Dylan Mitchell's a great athlete. They got size with Caden, Shedrick. But I really think Dylan Dessou is kind of a matchup. How does that look in terms of, is it Nageson? Is it Kaluma in that matchup? Because Dylan was very good in the Big 12 tournament last year, and he's a very effective player and playing great basketball, shooting 50% from three on the season, low volume, but fully capable, and is kind of a stretch big. Doesn't rebound the ball that well, but 6'9", and face-up modern-day big, and that can present some problems. So I look at Dylan Dessou and Arthur Kaluma as kind of being the two guys in this game that really are going to make an impact, and it'll be a close one. So, but there's no question, Kansas State's got to be in tournament mode. It's surviving. Your season's on the line tonight, and you got to play consistent ball for 40 minutes.
Nate Bucati.
So here's a broad question for you about this Big 12 championships, and just in the conference in general, since this is what you do. Without even getting into specific names, if you don't want to, what team in the Big 12 has the most NBA talent right now, or the best NBA talent?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would lean Baylor just because I think they'll have a couple lottery picks of their freshmen. I think Kansas is there as well. They got a few players that are going to be in the conversation as well. And, you know, look, the combine and going through the pre-draft process now, you know, guys have the opportunity to go back to school. NIL is such a huge factor now. This draft class in particular, Nate, like, going into the season, it was, you know, looked at and viewed upon by many in my industry of just not being to the level of some past drafts we've had. And it's probably not top heavy in terms of the talent that is at the very top. There is no Victor Wembanyama or Paolo Banchero or Cade Cunningham. It's a little different. But the thing that's been good is there's been a lot of players that have played really well and emerged, whether it be a young freshman like a Johnny Furphy. I use Kansas as an example just because, you know, there's been, you know, Reed Shepard and Rob Dillingham at Kentucky are young freshmen that are kind of taking the world by storm. I'm seeing Isaiah Collier today. K-State fans know that name. At USC, I'll see him today in Vegas at the Pac-12. So there's been a lot of young players that have really stepped up and really played better than I think some thought. And then there's older players like Kevin McCullough, like Terrence Shannon, that Jalen Tyson, who was at Texas Tech in Texas and transferred to Cal. And I followed his career just because he was in the Big 12. And now he's in Cal, and he's a 20-point scorer and one of the best scorers in the Pac-12. So I say this, there's so many moving parts to this. Guys transfer. There's young players that will be in the draft, as always. And then there's these older players that have really emerged that I think is kind of a trend right now in the NBA. Like Jaime Jaquez was a four-year guy at UCLA, and he's been one of the more talked-about rookies in the class from last year that has played so well for Miami and got into a great organization, and he was a four-year guy, first-round pick. So that's starting to become a little bit of a trend of those older guys that can come in right away and play and be effective. So it's a long-winded answer to say that this draft has gotten a lot better, and there's going to be a good amount of players coming from the Big 12. But I would try to circle Baylor right now as being just a couple guys that really are going to be there in that top of the draft.
Lebo wants to know who's going to win between Oklahoma and TCU.
That's a big one. Man, I'm going to go TCU, but just kind of depends on what night.
Sorry, Todd.
Lebo. I know. He won't probably like that, but
no, he'll have to deal with it.
I can see Oklahoma doing it, but I think so much is on the line for TCU, and I really think when TCU's right, they're very good. I've seen them play on their best night. I've seen them play on their worst night. So I've gotten TCU and kind of both avenues of how we've seen TCU play, but fully capable, and they got to have it. So I'll give Jamie Dixon the nod here, and I think I'll have his team ready to go tonight.
Todd Lebo.
What do you say, Nate?
Well, I'm going to go with Jarrett Sutton. He's the expert. You know, sorry, Todd, I don't make the rules here, but I wouldn't mind seeing the two latest traitors to the Big 12 exit early from this conference. I didn't like on the women's side that the Oklahoma women won the regular season and the Texas women won the postseason tournament. So on the men's side, I'd rather see it be the opposite way. So. Horned Frogs, baby. I saw some Horned Frogs fans walk by earlier. I've also seen a gentleman dressed in a BYU basketball outfit from head to toe, wearing some brown Van sneakers, which seemed to clash with the blue BYU outfit. It was an interesting choice. So we're starting to see some fans. Haven't seen any Central Florida fans down here yet, but I'll keep my eyes open.
Does Central Florida, will they give any problems to BYU? They played them close twice.
I mean, it's just kind of an interesting matchup just because, UCF is definitely capable. Like, super athletic, long. They got guys that can get to the rim and separate, and they got shooting and size. But, man, when BYU, I go back to, like, the Kansas win and then the Kansas State loss that they had prior to that. Like, that's what makes BYU dangerous. They got to play well in Kansas City, too. But, man, when they have it going, and I love – how that system is run at BYU. I mean, it's kind of like a machine of guys who just know exactly how to play, and it is because they're older. But everybody that steps on the floor, even though they might not be the best athlete, they might not be the strongest or the quickest, they know how to play. They can stretch it and shoot threes. They move the ball so well, the ball doesn't stick. And they have a passing big that can step out and shoot the ball, and they can play through them on the block. But the biggest thing is, can BYU match UCF with that athleticism? So, remains to be seen.
So, Jeff Goodman just tweeted out the bubble games to watch today. You see everything, Jarrett Sutton, in your travels as an NBA scout. And maybe just tell me what game, besides the ones we've talked about, would intrigue you the most. Wake Forest, Notre Dame. He mentioned Oklahoma, TCU, Colorado State, San Jose State, Providence, Georgetown. Of course, we have a vested interest in that one. New Mexico Air Force. I mentioned K-State, Texas, Villanova, DePaul, and Utah, Arizona State. So Jeff Goodman calls those all bubble games to watch. Anything stand out there to you?
I mean, yeah. Those are this is what makes the conference tournament so fun, is like these games make an impact. Obviously, every team can be impacted, but just from a seeding standpoint, but getting in and being on the bubble, you never want to be on the bubble going into the tournament, the conference tournament, just because it puts added pressure. And you never know, too, just how the committee will work. And it's not just one game. It's trying to go as far as you can, especially when you are on the bubble. I look at Providence, yeah. I mean, I want to see Devin Carter in the tournament. Would love to see them get in the tournament. I think TCU is a big game. K-State's a big game. Like, watching the Big 12. Big 12 kind of sets the bar for the tournament just because they should get the most teams in. And so I think that's kind of what I'm looking at, is just the Big 12 first and just how these teams perform tonight in these first couple days. Because I think some other schools in the Big East, ACC, you know, Big Ten, SEC, they're looking at the Big 12, because those schools and that league just has so much pull right now, I think, with the committee. So I would look at, of those bubble games, the Big 12 first, and then those other teams and other schools kind of follow suit. But pulling for Kim, I'd love to see Kim get in the tournament with all things that have gone on at Providence. We talked about that last week. And I would love to see Devin Carter in the NCAA tournament as well.
All right, who wins the Big 12 tournament, Houston or somebody else?
Oh, man, I'm going to lean Houston. I could see Baylor, you know, sneaking up and winning this. But I'll go Houston. I just think their performance against Kansas, I know, you know, KU banged up, but I think they're playing some really good ball. And the fact that Jamal Shedd is – so we know how good Jamal is, and his impact on the defensive end and his ability to play and as a point guard, and just his leadership. But he's scoring the ball a lot better, and he's shooting the ball. He's had some, you know, some streakiness here and there, but really think he's kind of taking this team, not just – he's been known to be such a great defender and impact defender, but now what he's doing offensively – I think really helps, because like with Iowa State's a great defensive team. I worry about them scoring the ball. And with Houston, Jamal gives them just that punch, and the fact that Cryer is shooting the ball so well. And then these other guys are kind of stepping into their roles. They're playing good ball. And it starts with Jamal Shedd. So I'll give the edge to Houston.
Jared Sutton, always good talking basketball with you, my friend.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys. Have fun.
All right. Good talking to you. That is Jared Sutton. We will be right back after this on WHP. All right, Nate Buchanan, one more time. Tell people where you are and where you'll be.
I am downtown in the Power and Light District, right across the street from T-Mobile Arena, T-Mobile Center. Sorry, T-Mobile Center.
How long have you been in Kansas City, buddy?
Well, how long has it been T-Mobile Center?
Wait, it's not Sprint Center anymore?
Yeah, right.
When they...
It's never been arena.
It was... No.
That's in Vegas.
It is an arena, though, right? Like, it's an arena, but that's not the name of it.
Right.
Who was the interim commissioner for the Big 12? I was talking about Kemper.
Is it Chuck Ninus?
Chuck Ninus.
Yeah. Well, I haven't heard that name for a long time.
Well, you just did.
Chuck Ninus.
Oh, Kemper Arena down there. Yeah. Just call me Nate Ninus.
No problem, buddy.
That tickled me.
We
Nate,
will.
Nate Ninus.
That's why they have me down here, you know, because I'm on top of everything. I'll be on top of the stage here in a little bit at the Miller Lite Fan Fest. We've got four games today. A little appetizer between BYU and Central Florida for the first game. I'm not looking at the schedule, so the second game escapes me right now. I think it's TCU and
Oklahoma.
Then tonight we've got Kansas State versus the Texas Longhorns, followed by the Kansas Jayhawks against the Cincinnati Bearcats. We'll be having a great time. We got all kinds of giveaways. Oh, a Central Florida fan walking in right now. Yeah. Nice lady with some sunglasses on and a.
She loves it.
Go Wildcats and go Jayhawks.
Right, let's go, because that'll be tomorrow.
Yeah, what's the updated lines? Go ahead, Nate.
-4.5 for Kansas State. Right. +4.5 for Kansas. They're both underdogs.
Was anything moved?
No. You know? Not as right. I got them both money line. So Kansas is getting 2.5. Kansas State is getting 4.5.
You know, all I'm doing is I'm trying to do my job. and I keep refreshing, trying to see if the Chiefs are going to do anything before we go off the air. And every time I refresh, all I get is Aroldis Chapman. And I'm getting very frustrated with this. And he's now trending everywhere. I just don't.
I first saw the still shots, and then you...
Now somebody said...
The video tells a different story.
The video does.
Joe Sheehan just said... Aroldis Chapman is touching 75. And been, so.
Boob.
It's not, I mean, he's not bitching, so I don't...
Is that confirmed?
Jesus. Why do I have to deal with this distraction? I'm just trying to earn an honest living. I'm just trying to do a job here. I have to refresh. There could be Chiefs news.
Right.
I've got to refresh. But now that I didn't need this, well, overtaking my timeline and my mentions. I can't look.
Social media wants to keep you on your toes. Well, right?
You know what? Sometimes social media is just a handful.
Yeah. He looks so happy, though. I can't.
You know, just have to wonder if the juice is worth the squeeze. You know?
We're really trying to milk this segment, aren't we?
Boom.
Keeping everybody abreast of the situation. Yeah.
Well, you know, when we talk like this, it's a little tit for tat, isn't it?
what would Keith Hernandez say?
What would he say, Jake?
Mark's been getting his tits wet, really has.
Jared said something real nice to me right before he went on the air. He's like, you know, the show goes so smooth with you back. And it's so great to have you back.
Really, Jared?
Smooth,
doesn't
huh? Smooth is the word.
Since when? Let me know what day that is to go smooth. Fill me in on that, Jared. Thanks.
Is there a guy that has a more sunny disposition on life than Jared Sutton? Like, I asked him about the KU lineup. He's like, oh, I'm really intrigued to see this. You know, a bunch of young guys getting some play time. That's
he loves it all.
I agree with him on that, though.
No, honestly, just as a fan of basketball, I am interested to see what Bill Self does. Sure. It's going to be interesting.
I mean, El Marco Jackson, he was a highly recruited player coming into the season.
I mean, I watch it.
McDonald's All-American.
Look, he didn't say anything that was factually incorrect. Right. I'm just saying, you want to talk about a glass half full guy. Kansas is an underdog in the first round of the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City. And he's like, I mean, hey, a lot of positives there. You know, young guys get a chance to play.
Those are going to be two very good games tonight.
Absolutely.
You know,
I think you're going to be
a treat for the city.
Viewer friendly.
As a person who will be here all day tomorrow, and a person who wants the economy of Kansas City to thrive, I will be rooting heavily for the Wildcats and Jayhawks tonight, you know?
Right.
Because that'll make a huge difference for tomorrow. So.
All right, well, let's think about this now and take a break. Back after this on WHB. Be very careful of the fake accounts from NFL insiders. I almost got by Tom Pelissero. Tom with two M's. Tom Pelissero. Trying to report stuff about the Chiefs. Uh-uh.
Got
you. Don't got me.
Got
I almost did, though. You know, you got to be careful. You got to avoid Tom Pelissero and Adam Schefter. Who
he's the best.
We're prominent right now, so.
Accurate information.
All right. Go see Nate.
Come on down.
You know.
It's just starting to warm up down here, baby. It's going to be a beautiful day, too. So.
That's right.
I guess there's a chance of a little bit of rain, but we're covered in the Power and Light District, baby. We got a canopy. We're fine.
And I told you, if you got hit by hail yesterday, call my friends at WeatherTech Renovations, 816-988-8957, and they'll give you a free inspection to make sure your roof is good to go. Check them out online, WTRenovations.com. Let's see what the Chiefs do today, shall we? Have a wonderful day right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Goodbye.